This story is about Geppetto, the master carpenter, who lived in Tuscany in Italy a long, long time ago. If you look at a map, the country looks like a boot. And just below, halfway down, you'll find a small village where Geppetto had his workshop. He made toys. That was what he was best at. And the shelves in his store were full of little boats, wooden horses, carriages, houses of all sizes, dolls' beds, tables and chairs, dice and games of all kinds, and clocks with cuckoos that popped out every hour and told you what the time was. Yes, nowhere else in the whole of Italy was there such a wealth of toys for children to enjoy. Geppetto loved children and hoped that all mums and dads, granddads and grandmas or other family members would give children whatever they wanted most. But a lot of the people in the village were poor. They couldn't afford to buy toys. And without an income, Geppetto was just as poor as they were. He could hardly afford to buy bread for breakfast or pasta for lunch. And for him, ham, cheese and wine for dinner were the stuff that dreams were made of. He had no children of his own, and it was probably just as well. How could he provide food and clothing and everything else that a boy or girl would need? Even so, he couldn't let go of the thought. He longed for a son who could take over his workshop when he was old and was no longer able to hold a wood-carving knife. Time passed, and the more he thought about it, the sadder he became, feeling lonely and forgotten. Days could go by without a customer looking into his store to buy anything off the shelves. Mostly, people just looked, maybe picking up a wooden horse, a puppet or a doll, but they seldom made a purchase. He had sold a die to a young man who wanted it to play for money with his father. And that was lucky, because a few coppers Geppetto had made on the transaction meant that he could buy some bread, a piece of cheese, and a small bottle of milk. Mostly the store was quiet and empty, and Geppetto would just yearn for the doorbell to chime, which would have him rush from his workshop to stand behind the counter and meet a long line of customers. But these were just dreams, exactly like the one about the son he would so much have liked to have, who would fill his home with a whole new life of play, mischief and joy. The silence was like a physical ache, and the loneliness felt like a gaping, empty hole inside him. Luckily, he had all his toys to talk to. None of them responded, of course, but he would pretend that the little locomotive would toot, that the cuckoo would say something more than cuckoo, and that the puppets would shout that they wanted to sing and dance with him, a fantasy that provided him with a little comfort. One morning, when he went into the larder as usual to scrape the last bits of bread from his plate and empty out the last dregs of milk from the bottom of the bottle, he heard the doorbell chime. "Who could that be this early?" he said to the cuckoo clock that was cuckooing that the time was exactly 9. He pulled his braces up onto his shoulders, had a quick look in the mirror, tidied his straggly grey hair, and hurried out into the store. And there stood none other than Countess Fiori, who lived in the magnificent palace in the middle of the village. She shimmered as though clad in gold in her yellow silk gown, with a black shawl around her neck, and on her head she sported a green speckled hat with pheasant feathers, bursting forth towards the sky. Silver earrings with sparkling diamonds dangled from her earlobes, and pink.